I'm going to ask Professor Chad to come. My dad had his youngest sister was married to a professor at Colorado University. Is that what I want to say? It was always fun to listen to them call each other farmer and professor and all that. I kind of like to call Chad professor.
All right. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
All right. Thank you. So Paul said all scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, correction, training in righteousness. Peter goes on to say that no prophecy's ever been done except by the Holy Spirit inspiring men to write those things down and do it. Psalms 103 is David's song to him. And as Jenna was saying, David spent a lot of time just worshiping God. He started that when he was a very young person. He was taking care of the sheep. He played a harp. We had played a harp in our Bible college town. One of them. I can't remember who it was. But I remember talking to her, and she played the harp, and she said it was one of the hardest instruments she had ever learned to play. And one of the most painful. Until you build up the calluses on your fingers and stuff, it can just be painful, but it's very difficult. And so David spent a long time, but taking care of the sheep and doing all that and playing that, but he was a worshiper. He's a psalmist. If you remember, Saul called him in just to bring, when Saul would get tormented in his mind from demons, he would call David in, and David would just start playing songs and bring relief from the demonic activity in Saul's life. And so as you read the Psalms, a couple things to keep in mind that as David's explaining his own walk, but he's also being led by the Holy Spirit to prophesy things concerning Jesus. So many of the Psalms are actually more like Jesus saying them to the Father because they are in that prophetic mode. So how you perceive the Word of God is how you perceive anything. So we've been sharing a little bit on Wednesday night on our Bible study, just the fact that, what your preconceived ideas before you listen to anything, to see anything, really affect you. For instance, if you think you know what your wife is going to say before she says it, you might hear her say something different, but you're already in that mode of knowing what she's going to say, so you don't hear what she actually said, but hear what you thought she was going to say. Does that ever happen to anybody? You know, and then she tries to correct you, and vice versa. So we do that in everything that we do, you know, on the job site, everything. You know, there have been so many studies kind of down this line where they just interview everybody at an accident, you know. An accident happens, they go and interview. And everybody's got, sometimes it's a totally different perception of what took place. And it's not like they're lying, it's just that, but they don't match up at all. And part of that is because our preconceived idea of what we think we're going to see or did see has so much impact on it. One of the stories that impacted me was when Dr. Hagen once said that a Baptist minister came to him and just said, you teach on healing, and I just don't see healing in the scriptures at all. He said, where do you get that? And so Hagen just said, well, open up your Bible. And so he opened it up, and he said, let's just turn to Matthew. And he just started paging through, you know, and said, right here it says he healed them all. Right here it says that he laid hands on them. You know, and he just went down the line, and this Baptist minister just said, how did I not see that? He said, I'm going to go read the New Testament again. And he came back later, read all the Gospels and everything, came back, and he said, you know, before I didn't hardly see healing in the scriptures at all, and now I see it almost in every verse. And I thought about that as a young person, how powerful it is, our perception that we have already inside of us before we even listen or read something. So, so one of the concepts that a lot of people struggle with is when they read the Old Testament, they say, I don't really like the God of the Old Testament. You know, he just seemed harsh. He seemed very cruel. And once that is embedded, and I think sometimes, I know for me, we had one relative that was always questioning the Old Testament, always, why does they do that? Why is it? And those doubts and those questions affected me as a child before I ever even read. And as it went on, that which was suggested to me affected how I saw things. It's like, oh, I see what you mean. He wiped everybody out. But here's the truth. When Paul said all scriptures inspired, he wasn't talking about the New Testament. He wasn't talking about his later letters. They were not yet recognized as scripture. He was talking about the Old Testament. And so was Peter. And so one of the things I just want to encourage you is that there's perceptions inside of us, whether we like it or not. And once in a while, just to become aware of that and say, Holy Spirit, help me see this a little bit different. Help me see this the way it really is. You know, that's also a wise thing to do with your spouse. Holy Spirit, help me hear what she is actually saying. Because I'm not picking it up right. You know, I don't know. Me, one of my challenges is allowing my wife to tell me things that are wrong. And not just with me, but with the building, with the yard, and not take it personal. I have a tendency whenever she goes, this is broke, this is not working again, I have a tendency that I feel like I'm being judged, that I'm failing. I know most of you men are smarter than I am and don't pick that up. But once in a while, it's like, I want to say, do you see anything good in my life at all? I mean, Did you notice how many things I did do today, or just the one crumb I left on the floor? And it's the same way when we read the Word of God. We got to once in a while realize I'm kind of in a habitual habit of seeing the same thing over and over. And I need to look at it afresh and say, Holy Spirit, show me something new. So, I want to go through Psalms 103 with you. And just look at it afresh and look at it that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God the Father is the same yesterday, today. This is really, really important. We share it all the time, but I want you to really... you'd be honor me if you just say, Pastor John said it over and over and over. If you want to compliment me, that'd be great. But Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. If you want to know what the Father really is like, who God really is like, both in the old and back in that time of Adam, all the way to through till we are all out of this and we get a new earth and a new heaven, he's the same. And if you want to know what he looks like, you have to look at Jesus, because he's the only one that really shows us the Father. You and I can read the Bible, but boy, I tell you, if we don't see it in Jesus... And so many people, they think there's a difference. There's like, well, I kind of like Jesus, but I don't know. The Father, he bothers me, you know, or the Holy Spirit, you know. And they're the same. They're one. And when you see Jesus, you're going to see the Father. And so I want to just look at this picture through the eyes of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord. David is now saying something. And boy, I appreciate what Jen said. I think it was Jen. Isn't it cool the way Joshua hung back after Moses left? And Joshua just stayed there. When I was a young person reading the Word and growing up in church, I remember very specifically saying, these stories are cool. I want to love God, I want to obey God, but something was really burning in me. I want to know him. I don't want to just know about him. I'll honor those people that God has used, like David, like Paul, to help us learn, but I don't want to just go through somebody else. I don't want to say, well, I'm a follower of Paul, or I like this theologian, or I like this pastor. I want to say, hey, I appreciate all that, but I want to know him. I want to know him. And it's easy for me to confess that, boy, I was doing Karen's funeral the other day, and we were talking about imagining what it's like to be there. And one of the things that hit me for the first time, really, in my life, is I was meditating on it, and I thought, man, when I first get to heaven, what are you going to feel? What are you going to see? And everybody's reports are different, but they're all awesome. But one of the things that hit me is I thought, when I first get there, I guarantee you, I'm going to get there, and as soon as I see it and feel it, I'm going to say, woo, I had a bunch of stuff wrong. You know, I just think we're just going to know that we had a bunch of things wrong. Not just about heaven, but about God. Andrew Womack lost his dad, I think, when he was 13. And it was really hard on a young boy. And then when the Lord appeared to him in a special anointed way in 1968... He'll talk about that all the time, but he said one of the things, when the presence, and that was talked about earlier today, when the presence of God came upon him and he understood grace like he never understood before, but one of the first things he knew was he'd always said, God, why did you take my dad? And he said the very first thing that hit him was, you didn't take my dad from me. You received my dad with joy. Well, I'll tell you, that's a big perception difference. Amen? Changes your whole viewpoint. For me, I wanted to know him. And so when I read David in this, I always think, okay, I appreciate what they did. I appreciate Joshua. I appreciate Moses. I appreciate that. But what do I do? What do I do, and who am I? I want to know him. I want to experience him. I want to feel him. I want to, you know, I may walk away and say, I know Jesus and you know Jesus, but you may see Jesus in a little different way than I do, or vice versa, because he is so big and so large and so wonderful. He's got so many attributes, and none of us are going to get it all. So you may see something I don't see, but we can encourage each other. But man, I wanted in my life this confidence that I knew God. And I can tell you that over the years, my heart has been transformed and my faith has risen. And I may make a mistake that's just pretty obvious to everybody, and I have to say, man, I'm sorry I made a mistake. But I promise you, you won't take away my confidence that I know God. I know him. I don't know everything about him, but I know him. From just spending time with him, spending time in the Word. So here's David, and he goes like this. He said, bless the Lord, all my soul. So one of the first things we're doing is, what Lori said, confessing. David's confessing something out of his mouth right now, and he's speaking something. He's speaking to an issue. He's speaking to his own soul, and you need to talk to yourself. Don't do it in front of people, you know. Well, you can get away with it now. You can actually walk down the street and start talking to yourself out loud, because most people think you got an earplug and that you're actually on the phone. So no, they don't need to know, but you can bless the Lord, oh my soul. Boy, and once in a while, you just really need to have a lecture with yourself. Just say it out loud. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. My soul, bless the Lord. Come on, pull it up. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget none of his benefits. And now David's speaking of truth to his own soul, of saying, now, soul, listen to me. Don't forget God's benefits. Don't forget God's benefits. How easy is it to forget? It's incredibly easy. Incredibly easy to forget things, isn't it? Things that you know real well. Things you know, we were just talking about Rick went down to Texas. And we took a van load of kids once down there, a 23-passenger van load of kids. And went down 1,500 miles and then went into Mexico. And then came back after ministry with all these kids. And I mean, it was a great time, but man, it's a stressful time. And by that time, kids stink. So you got that to deal with, too. And so we're driving this 23-passenger bus van and trying to get home on a Saturday night. And boom, all of a sudden, we got steam coming out of the engine and all that. And I go, oh, no, 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 no. So I get out, open the hood, and here's this, you know, radiator's boiling. And I pop the radiator lid. After I'd shut it off. What happens with that? Like a volcano. Man, boom! And man, somehow it just missed me. And one of the ladies traveling with us, you know, and Lisa was there, I remember she just turned to my wife and said, boy, if that was my husband, I'd be chewing him. I'd be, what did, you know. And I appreciate Lisa. She says, I don't know, I think he just forgot. You forget, you forfeit. You forget, it costs you. I'll just finish that story. It's kind of interesting. We in a little town, nobody, you know, open. Said, is there anybody who can help us this? And they said, there's a guy that works in a pole barn down here. He's got his own shop. Go talk to him. He happened to be there. And he just was generous. He says, I'll help you. And I'll get it. And he fixed it within about 2-3 hours in the middle, you know, in the night. But I looked at him finally and I said, man, what happened to your face? Because, man, it was just really bad looking. And he goes, I opened a radiator cap 2 days ago. I got third degree burns. He was burned. I go, oh, Jesus, you're good. Forget not his benefits. If you forget, we used to say it this way, if you forget, you forfeit. So he says, forget none of his benefits. What are those benefits? Now, we're reading the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come yet. David is declaring this, and he goes, these are the benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. What do we say? Oh, thank God, Jesus saved me, and he forgave me all my sins. He died on the cross, he forgave me my sins. Yeah, he did. Yeah, absolutely. But David is saying, thank you that you pardoned all my iniquities before Jesus died. So there was forgiveness for sins for David, for Moses, for Saul, for all those guys who pardons all your iniquities. And see, now you start seeing, oh, wait a minute. God isn't this guy just a bad old grumpy person up there. When Jesus came and showed us the Father, we can go back and actually look at this and say, the scriptures were talking about the Father all along, that he's one who forgives all, pardons all our iniquities, heals all our diseases. This is pre-Jesus taking stripes on his back. The Father's heart was to heal all. It's a benefit. It's just a benefit. How many of you like benefits? How many of you took a job simply because of the benefits? Man, I that was new to me when young people started taking jobs, and I said, well, what are they going to pay you? I don't know. I said, you don't know? No, I didn't ask them that. You didn't ask them? And they said, well, why'd you take the job? I said, the benefits. That was new to me as a young person. By the way, I never had a job with benefits, so it doesn't mean much to me. I was never honored that way. Who heals all your diseases. So now we found out, hey, in the Old Testament, the Father healed all their diseases. He said, listen to me. And in Deuteronomy, Exodus, he said, if you listen to me and I'll instruct you, none of these sicknesses or diseases will come upon you. The Father's intent from the beginning was that we lived a life free from sin and a life free from sickness and disease. It's always been in the Father's heart. Who redeems your life from the pit. That redeems means to like a family member that you get in trouble and they come and they pay your way out of it. He comes and boy, aren't you glad he redeems us out of the pit. You don't have to get out of the pit yourself. Hallelujah. Who crowns you with loving kindness means to be surrounded with loving kindness and compassion in your life. And sometimes we get, people have this perception about God that he's always trying to put them through trials and tests to see how they're doing and to grow them up. And, and we say it. Our confession is often, I remember one of my friends just said, we're just praying for Uncle Joe that God just knocks him down to the bottom of the barrel so he'll finally look up. And I go, I don't think that's a good prayer. Why would you want to? If I'm at the bottom of the barrel, there's a good chance I'm not going to look up. I'll just die there. Don't pray that kind of prayer. I told him, and they said, I think that's the way God... No, God surrounds us with loving kindness and compassion, heartfelt love, who satisfies your years with good things. Again, this is painting a picture of who the Father God is, that we saw manifest in Jesus, but here he was before Jesus came. This is the Father, and David knew, had spent time with him, and David is prophetically speaking these things by the power of the Holy Spirit that says, you are the one who satisfies our years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Good things help us. Good things renew us. And yet, a majority of people you could go out there and talk to right now don't have that perception about God. It's like he's looking for the crumbs on the floor instead of all the other things that you did. Right? He's just always critical. He's just always ready to jump and say, well, you didn't do, And so many people, when you say, holy, 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 they see this God that he himself is separated and he can do no wrong, but we see him as somebody that just says, you're going to do it right or you're not going to get anything. And that's not our Father at all. He's got so many ways that he wants to bless us. It goes on to say, the Lord performs his righteous deeds and his judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to his sons of Israel. I kind of like this because the acts, everybody in Israel saw what he did, but Moses had the understanding of why he did it. Out of the intimacy, God wanted to show Moses how he thinks, how he operates, and that's an awesome thing. It's one thing to see somebody do something, you know, in the natural that and say, hey, just do it this way. But I'm one of those guys that says, but why do I do it that way? How does it work? And Moses got to know how God thinks and how he works. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Again, what a beautiful picture that so few people have of God the Creator, especially so-called of the Old Testament. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. And now this is prophetic because the anger that God had against sin and disobedience was all taken care of on the cross. He put it all on Jesus, and there's nothing left for you and I. And so this was prophetic, but at the same time, this was the heart of God even back with David. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear the Lord. And this word fear really, you know, it does mean that you can be terrified, but it means so much more as you understand the scriptures and understand life, that it means that this incredible reverence for God. I grew up most of the time, my dad and I had our conflicts, but especially as a young boy, I wanted to make my dad happy. And I was one of those that when Dad left the farm to go get parts or something, and I remember once he told me, I was combining that year, and we had these little fields of oats, and he says, you keep on going, John. You're filling the truck up for Marty, and you keep on going. And by the way, don't forget to lift the auger when you leave a field. You know, auger stuck out real far. Man, I tell you, when my dad left, I jumped on that thing, and I was going to crank out. I was going to get as many fields as done as I could. I wanted him to come back and say, "Woo! How'd you get all that done?" Now, I had employees that worked for me when I was in construction. They didn't have that attitude. We had one little young man that was working for us, and he tattled on the older guys that were working for us. And the young man came to me, and he just said, "You know, every time you leave, he sits down on it over there and tells me what to do." And I said, "You don't need to be no tattler." And then I fired the other guy. I didn't have that, even in construction when the boss left. I worked twice as hard to see if I could, you know, get it all. By the way, on that combine, I forgot to lift the auger. I left the field, and I'm on my way. I cranked that sucker up, and I'm tooling as fast as an old John Deere goes, and smacked a tree with that auger. So I buzzed home, got my dad taught us a lot about welding. I got that auger off. I got chains on there. I start bending it. And I got done. It did take me a while, but I got done. Dad figured it out. He said, you hit a tree, didn't you? I said, "Yeah, I did." And I said, "I got it fixed. And Dad, when you run it now, it's nice and smooth." Now, it used to go bang, bang, bang. It's smooth. I fixed it better than it was. I'm just saying there's a heart attitude of a son wanting to please the father. And then when you see this the thing that says, for those who fear him, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a son that reverences dad and wants to please him, wants to honor him, wants to do everything he can to bless him because he's so blessed to have that dad in his life. His loving kindness is toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so he's removed our transgressions from us. It'd be great if we would accept that and stop thinking about our transgressions all the time. Amen? We keep reviewing, repeating our own mistakes in front of us. And he says, "I'm not going to repeat them. I don't want to think about them. I threw them that way and that way." And so, again, here's the heart of the Father. So far as he removed our transgression from us, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame, he is mindful that we are but dust. Again, with my own dad, we had some college boys coming to look at some of the things Dad had made from school mines. He was pretty proud about that. And I was taking the big bolts off, breaking a tractor in half, and I got the ratchet going. And as it ratcheted out, it pushed against another piece of metal, and all of a sudden I was wedged. And I'll never forget, my dad came by, and I'm sitting there like this, and he goes, you can just kind of see, like, oh, John. He didn't want the big college boys and professors to see that. He said, figure it out, and walked off. And I'm thinking, I got to get this figured out, son. I'm talking about perceptions. I'm talking about feelings. I'm talking about how you see things, how you feel things, what your preconceived idea already is. And for our Heavenly Father, He knows that we're made of dust. Now, it's pretty amazing. I don't want to get into that today, but it's amazing that what dirt's an amazing thing. Dirt is an amazing thing. You pick it up, it's dirt, and most people like to wear gloves and not get it on them. But that dirt is awesome. It can make a beautiful flower that smells fragrant. It can make a carrot that has a certain flavor. It can make jalapenos that'll burn your little belly out. It can do so many things. It is so powerful. And that He knows that we're made out of dust, out of dirt, and yet look at us. Look at us. We're so beautiful. We're so amazing. We're so phenomenal. We're just dirt piled up, you know, and yet at the same time, we feel things. We energize things. We have emotions. We have abilities. We have skills. We can do amazing things. We can be amazing people. We can also be very evil. But we're just made out of dirt, but dirt's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But He knows that we're made out of dirt. And so He's way more patient with us than we are. I sometimes like to watch coaches or parents sometimes talking to their kids and just going, what in the world are you thinking? You know, and putting them down. And I tell you what, I could go there. I can be very sarcastic. But one of the things I've transformed in is I don't have the heart to rip somebody apart anymore. Because I know they're made of dust. But I also know they're created in the image of God and they're awesome. And He loves them and He died for them. Who am I to call them an idiot? Who am I to call them a fool? By the way, if I yell at you and chew you out, it's because I love you. If I slap your face, I'm trying to get your attention. And Jesus did it, so I can do it. But being led of the Holy Spirit, amen? So He says, "And man's day, as for man, his days are like grass, the flower of a field. He flourishes, the wind passes over, and it is no more." And its place acknowledges it no more. It's like, man, when we do go, we're gone, aren't we, from this earth? Keep that in mind. Don't get twisted about every little thing that's going wrong. You're only here for a vapor. It's going to be okay. His loving kindness, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for those who fear Him, reverence Him, and His righteousness to children's children. I love that part. Praise God. Thanks. Can be imparted down the line. To those who keep His covenant, remember His precepts and do them. Who kept the covenant? Jesus did. We don't have a covenant with God anymore. You and I don't have to keep a covenant anymore. We have no covenant with God ourselves. Jesus has the covenant with God. He fulfilled it, and now we enter into Jesus. We get all the benefits, and we didn't have to do anything except say, I believe in you, Jesus, and we enter into that. And so every promise, forget. These are promises to David in the Old Testament. How much more in the New Testament should we not forget His benefits of pardon our iniquities, healing all our diseases, prospering us, surrounding us with good things, restoring us, and He's just always for us. Don't forget that. It makes a difference. The Lord established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. His sovereignty rules over all. His sovereignty rules over everything. Do you know what sovereignty is? Another word for it is kingdom. His kingdom rules everything. Where's his kingdom? Inside you. What is inside you rules everything in the universe. It's pretty funky. It's pretty powerful. Most of us have a preconceived idea that we're weak, that we don't know that much, that we really can't change anything, that we're powerless. And with that perception, we will forget or not know any of the benefits. Once you see him right, you'll see yourself right. You will not see yourself weak anymore. You will not see yourself without wisdom. You will now know that because of what Jesus did, you are wisdom. You don't just have wisdom. You are wisdom. You are powerful. And this inside is what rules the world. You wonder why the world is such a mess? Because not very many people believe this. Okay, we'll go on. The Lord established his throne, okay? Bless the Lord, all you, his angels. So look, at David's talking to angels now and say, hey, bless the Lord. Right now this house, this place is full of angels because you all have an angel, or at least one or two. I've got a couple of them. And I was just driving over to Montana yesterday and I just said, hey, I call them Bert and Ernie. It's respectful. They like it. And I was driving my truck. And I said, hey, Bert and Ernie, let's praise the Lord together. Let's bless the Lord. I said, are you crazy? Yeah, I'm crazier and I'll get out, but that's real. That's not the crazy part of me. That's true. This is, bless the Lord, his angels, mighty in strength who perform his word. Why do we speak the word of God out? We speak it as the oracles of God. When we speak the word, we're not just speaking out of our own mouth and our own ideas. We're taking that which God has shown to us, put it in our hearts, and we speak that word out. And what? The angels then can perform it. It has to be spoken for them to hear it and to perform it. Obeying the voice of his word. What's the voice of his word? It's us. We're the voice maker now. We're the voice of his word. When we speak it, then the angels can perform it. Bless the Lord, all you his host. Now, the difference between that I understand from scriptures and other things is that in my time in the hot tub every night, I speak to the angels that are encamped around my place and encamped around you and encamped around this everything that we're working. I tell them, man, you guys perform the word of God. And then I said, then I release the heavenly host. The heavenly host is a little different than just your angels that are ministering to you. Heavenly host is like a mighty army from heaven. The word host means army. And so there's like military groups of super spiritual, you know, beings. Probably angels, but they're called a heavenly host. He distinguished between the two. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts who serve him, doing his will. Do you know why we pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So that they can hear us say that. We speak that truth out, and the heavenly host can perform the will of God. Bless the Lord, all you his works of his, and in all places of his domain. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Listen, we're going to be here for a short time. I've been really thinking, man, I'm a lot closer now to departing than arriving. I arrived 71 years ago. I've got only 30 or 40 years left to go. What do I want to do with those? Man, I want to really become awesome, mighty, powerful, focused, energized, completely sold out in trusting in God. That's my goal. Ruthlessly, crazily trust in him. Work hard and trust him. as Laurie said, put away the doubt, put away the fears. I did speak real firmly to a brother the other day. Real loud, real firm. And I just said, stop it! Well, how dare you? I don't know if he's going to forgive me or not. But I'm telling you, our Father loves us enough sometimes to speak a firm word to us. Why? You ever been floundering and somebody, a coach, a dad, a teacher, finally just spoke real firmly to you and said, get it together? And you did? And you did? You just, okay. Sometimes, one of my trainers in construction showed me how to lay block. And I came to him, I was just laying a block. Well, he just showed me, about 5 minutes how to lay block. And then he left. And he worked at the hospital. He's my second papa. And we went there, and I was kind of upset. I said, it's not working out. What do you mean it's not working out? I said, it's not working. I get down with a row, and instead of having a gap about like that, I got about 3/4 inch instead of 3/8. And he said, are you measuring every block with a tape measure? I go, yeah. I didn't tell you to do that. Man, I came in there kind of haughty, and by the time he got done with me, I was like, okay. He said, I didn't tell you to do that. Do what I told you to do. Man, I came in, I came in, and I walked out. And I went back and did what he told me to do. Guess what? It worked. And I was so grateful for a firm word. It's called love. Okay? Wasn't chewing me out, wasn't beating up on me, just saying, you need to understand this. Don't forget my benefits. I do these things because of who I am. You don't have to struggle with it. Just believe it. Hallelujah. So as we see God, I encourage you to read the Old Testament. Look at it differently. And some things that even look really strange, you just say, Holy Spirit, I need to see this differently if you can help me. But overall, we're in a better covenant than David had. We have a life-giving Adam. Jesus is a second Adam, and he's given us life. And everything that was in the old one is already ours now, and more. And more. It's better. Let your mind and your heart change. Let the perceptions change. And it'll change the outcome of the circumstances. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for you being you. And Holy Spirit, we do ask you, help us to see us in you, one in the same. Bless you, Lord, all that is within me. We bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Man, grab hold of some things this week and have a blast. Okay? I'll give you a firm word. Have some fun!